primetime on Football Friday. 1080 The Fan.
Professional football in America is a special game. A unique game. Played nowhere else on earth. It is a rare game. The men who play it make it so.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Tap by Coors Light. Duck fans, as you power up for game day, grab some frost-brewed Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Please drink responsibly.
That's going to make the f***ing difference between winning and losing.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome to Hour 2 of Primetime. Luke Anderson filling in for Isaac Ropp. Isaac Ropp filling in for Sue. Tim Taylor just swung in here from the Wolf, and he wanted us to point out to the listeners, in case they don't know, when I say that I'm filling in for you, not only am I talking first and the normal radio formatting that you may hear, I'm also sitting in your chair.
Yeah,
I'm
in Sue's chair.
Yeah,
it's fun over here.
Yeah.
I get lazy this time of year, which is why I'm doing this.
Well, and have you noticed...
It's not jiving with a lot of people, Luke. I mean, there's some people that are like, Rob, get back over there.
Oh, yeah, no, they want me out of here.
They want you out of here. But that's okay. We're working... You know what, man? F them.
Here's the nice thing. They're texting your phone and not the Better You Today text line, which makes right. it nice. All of your friends and family.
My friends are all bitching at me. I'm like, hey, shut up. Merry Christmas.
Here's the benefit you get sitting in that chair. You can just gaze out the window.
Totally. So Suk has such an easy job, and he's really good at it.
He is.
But I'm serious. It's much easier over here. And this time of year, I like to try my hand at this just because it's easier, and I'm lazy.
Well, and I will say that—
Is that a good reason?
Yeah, I— 100% agree.
Because the prep work that goes into that chair is a lot different than the prep work that goes into that chair.
I follow Luke's lead, man.
The one thing that I will say, so when we started The Sinner and the Saint, I started in that chair. So Keith Hill would lead the show. I will say it's harder to maintain your interest sitting in that chair and stay, because Suk has so many different takes and will take you in any different direction.
Right.
Because I've hosted it with him a number of times. The funny thing about, and you know this very well, but when you throw something at Suk, you have no idea where he's going.
Right.
And that takes a little bit of sharpening the knife. You know, he needs to be ready to kind of, you know, scat in any direction. And then as a host, you have to kind of be ready to go where it goes. And because you and I haven't done this very often, I don't know where you're going to go when I throw you something. So it keeps you on your toes.
I got another curveball coming for you too, pal.
For
just,
me?
Just wait.
Woo.
Hey, let's talk about this MLS thing. Okay, here's what I want to say. We're talking about the Portland Diamond Project. They were at the winter meetings. These guys, I'm telling you, man, these guys are going about it the right way. Doesn't mean it's going to get done, but they're really good. They're really good. Mm-hmm. One thing that is interesting that I found out recently that I would not have suspected is the success of the MLS around the country is really a big player in the idea of Major League Baseball expansion. Did you watch the MLS, or I guess it's MLS Cup?
Yes.
In Atlanta?
I did, and they had 80,000 people.
72, but yeah.
Yeah, but...
1,000.
They also had 58,000, I believe, for their average attendance for home games for the Atlanta team.
Amazing.
But the Braves' attendance is one of the ones that's going down in Major League Baseball, and they're a good young team.
Well, but let's... Okay, so here's the thing.
So this is why I'm...
So let's look at... I don't follow the MLS... So I don't know a lot of the markets, but I will say that obviously, having a front row seat to what's happened in Portland, it has been a raging success.
Yes.
Right? They're expanding the stadium as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
Seattle, raging success. Now, those are coastal cities, a little different. Well, let's go to Kansas City. Mm-hmm. In the Midwest, already has NFL, MLB, and it has been a huge success there. They're packing those stadiums. Then you go to Atlanta, and if you didn't see MLS Cup, I tuned into it. I'm like, all right, the Timbers are in the final. Let's watch this. Because my default is always that, well, you know, it's like the, what did Mike, you said last week, MLS is the what, the rank of the league.
Oh, I didn't do the league. Atlanta, who's the best team in MLS, is the 80th ranked team in the world.
I thought I said 180th.
Maybe it was 180th, yeah.
But it's just not...
Yeah, I think it was 180th, you're right.
It's not even remotely the best soccer in the world, which is always going to hold it back. But that doesn't matter on the business side.
Yeah.
You cannot deny the success that and the fan bases and just sort of the money that's coming in from MLS in Atlanta, Kansas City. You can look at Portland, you can look at Seattle. And I'm sure, like I said, there are other examples. I just don't follow it close enough. So... That game, that MLS Cup, I turned that on and went, holy crap, that place is full.
Yep.
They are rabid. And that is something. And somebody told me recently, they said, do not underestimate that. Because as Major League Baseball wants to expand, it is somewhat of a race to beat the MLS. Because MLS is so much cheaper. And the business model is infinitely better in that they don't pay the players anything, right? I mean, those guys still don't make that much money. So it may be a second-rate league or a fifth-rate league, however you want to view it in terms of its compared to EPL. But its business model cannot be denied. It is crazy popular all across the country and only expanding more.
Yeah.
And so Major League Baseball's got to be careful. One, they love what the Timbers have done here. And that tells them that they feel like Major League Baseball can do the same thing in the same city. But there are other areas where, because, you know, if they expand, there's going to have to be another expansion city.
Yeah.
You know, who is that? And if they get MLS and if MLS gets there first, are they saying, you know, we'll take soccer instead of baseball? It's cheaper. It's less sort of a, I don't know about burden, but just less stressful on the taxpayers, maybe.
Yeah.
Easier to get done, and the business model is great.
I wonder what the studies say about cities that have multiple professional franchises. You know, I mean, it's not like the Browns suffer when the Indians do well, or the Cavaliers, you know, hurt the Indians when LeBron James wins a championship or anything like that. It seems like cities like Boston, obviously a much bigger city, but they've, you know, they hold up the four major sports franchises just fine. And within the city, you can have people that are, you know, exclusive to just one of those sports, or you can have people that root for all four teams. And I don't think it diminishes, you know, it doesn't, if you're a baseball fan, you can't root for the Timbers, or people are going to care less about the Timbers because there's a baseball team. I think if anything, it adds to that fuel.
Well,
and I don't think it hurts the Blazers or the Timbers to add another professional sports
team.
Well,
I would say this. I don't think the Blazers are against this like everyone thinks they are, in a sense that if you're a big picture thinker, like say you're Chris McGowan or whomever, you are pro development.
Yeah.
And that's what you want. Like you don't look at it like, well, our sales guys are going to be scrambling because there's only so many companies. You say, no, if that pops, the city is booming. More business will come here. It maybe will help us loosen some things to get our development around our arena built up. Like they don't look at it as, oh, competition, let's get this out of here. They look at it as opportunity to grow. And I think to your question, I would say that it's a lot about the in-game experience. Mm-hmm. And here's another interesting thing that popped up is gambling. So soccer, you know, what the Timbers have done, if you've ever been to a Timbers game, that is a lot of fun.
It is.
And what they have created is it's about the game, but there's also so much more that you can do there. It's an event for your family and the kids and their stuff around it. That's what baseball wants. Baseball knows that it skews way older, and they cannot just rely on a Major League Baseball team playing on a Sunday afternoon in nice weather. Everybody's just going to show up.
Yep.
You can't rely on that. You have to give them more reasons to come. And then, oh, by the way, there's a baseball game. And that's how the Portland Diamond Project is approaching their plan, which is smart, because that's where we talk about the infrastructure around the ballpark, and then infinitely, you know, they make way more money and everybody's happy. But it's got to be an event. You're not taking your kids down there just so they'll be bored because you want to watch your favorite player play. It's just not like that anymore. So MLS has really captured that, and baseball wants to do that too. And they know if they're building ballparks in places like Portland, they have to do it kind of like how the MLS has tried to do it. And I don't know what it, you know, the situation in Atlanta is like, but here it's pretty obvious. They've captured something with a park right in the middle of the city. Younger people love it. It's a thing. It's become part of the community. And baseball thinks they can do that too if they build it right.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it's very cool. It's very exciting. And like you said, there's no reason not to trust these guys. They seem to be making every step very strategically, very smart.
So gambling, one more. Or do we have to go? Well, gambling, real quick. You know, I think that Major League Baseball, first of all, Rob Manfred, the commissioner of baseball, is more progressive than the last guy, and he's one of the more progressive commissioners in pro sports.
Yep.
Adam Silver, I think he's the head of the NBA. I think he is fantastic in terms of just
really aggressively looking at new ideas.
Yes.
Yeah, and gambling is a big one of
and,
them.
And Manfred's good at this too. He knows he has to be because baseball does skew older. And I think baseball believes that gambling, particularly in-game gambling, because of the pace of the game, it's slow enough and there's enough time between pitches that if you can sit there and just bet
on an app in the ballpark,
fastball, curveball, you know, they're thinking big in those terms, and they're thinking, gosh, you know, our sport suits that way more than football or basketball. And I think there's a real discussion about that playing into the in-game experience too in some of these new ballparks.
Well, and I think part of the reason that you see Adam Silver and Rob Manfred kind of leading this charge is these are new commissioners that want to put their mark on the sport and have it move into the future. And the NBA is certainly doing a great job of that. Major League Baseball hasn't made a big dynamic shift, but this is a huge opportunity, especially as states legalize it. And we just saw New Jersey doing fantastic on it. Hey, Blazers play tonight. And I know that we're upset. The Blazers are playing against Toronto. I know people are upset that the Blazers are kind of middling and they're just mediocre. Well, they're not awful, and Phoenix is, and it's upsetting old ladies. I want to play you some audio next. This is, what are we doing? This is primetime on 1080.
That's what they say.
Yeah, that works.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Tapped by Coors Light.
On 1080, The Fan.
Okay. Yeah. I have no idea what's going on right
have
now.
Have you ever answered the phone in there?
No, I've never. Yes, I have. I've answered the phone once in the other room. So Mike just, as we're coming back, he plays the music and we're sitting here. He can talk back to us without you hearing it.
Yeah, the technology here is out of control.
You have no idea how technologically advanced we are in this building. But Mike lets us know the information that somebody called in to tell him.
Let me tell you this first. Let me set this up by saying this, Luke, because you are a star and you have never had to slave over the board like most of us in radio. We have, you know, that's where you start. Now, Mike's got his podcast. He's got his shows. Like, Mike's going places.
He's big time.
He's still behind the board.
Yeah.
And I was once behind the board, which is really boring and really stupid, and nobody wants to do it, but it's just kind of how you cut your
teeth. How you get your foot in the door, unless you're a star.
So when you are,
and they just hand you the show.
So when you are behind the board, you are required to answer the phone because, well, budgets are tight, Luke, and we cannot have a somebody answer the phone. Now, we have a front desk gal.
And we don't get enough phone calls to justify having somebody sitting there waiting for the phone to ring.
You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised how often that phone rings. Now, we don't take a lot of calls, and I've noticed, we don't take any calls, which is great. On this show, that Suk and I just don't like to take calls, but the other shows don't take calls either. So there's not a lot of caller interaction on this station as a whole, but people do call in, and what they will do, and I got to the point where I got so cocky sitting where Mike is behind the board that I would just, if it was my shift, I would not answer the phone because I just didn't want to deal with it.
Yeah.
Because it's, you'd be amazed at how much random stuff. A lot of it is guys are debating something, a sports thing. And they want you, they think you're like
they use you
encyclopedia.
For
yeah.
Like, instead of Google.
Right. Well, now I think that's changed. Yeah. But, you know, I'm an old.
You are.
And so this was before Google.
When did you start?
2000.
Here? Okay.
Sorry, 2001.
Holy cow.
Yeah. So I was answering calls, or it would be like, hey, what time's the Mariner game on? Or, hey, will you settle a, hey, did you know this? Yeah. And Mike just.
What's the legal limit again before I get back in my car?
Mike just got one, and he said, this is why sometimes it's worth answering the phone. Because somebody just gave, and I don't know why this person called up to say this, and why he specifically called Mike, but he called Mike, and
did they
he
mean
said,
to call this station, or did he call?
Yeah, this is he's a pretty frequent caller.
Yeah, so he's a friend of ours, I guess. Okay. And he calls and tells Mike, did you know that Cyndi Lauper's song, Girls Just Want to Have Fun, is a cover?
Yeah, no, I had no idea, and I still
mind
don't care.
Blown. Oh, you don't care? See that? I think that's interesting. And Mike was like, you know, thanks, man. Yeah. I appreciate that. I did not know that. Thank you. All right, bye. Well,
but
and so that's it.
Yeah, but we also got the information though. Who's cover was it?
According to Wikipedia, it was a song written and first recorded in 1979 by American musician Robert Hazard.
See, now that blew my mind. Because if you said it was a cover, I'm like, oh, some woman already had that song.
Right.
No, Robert Hazard. There's no way that's a woman's
name.
Can
we play it, Mike? Can you find it?
I will look.
So that got me that it was a guy singing Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
I didn't know that was a cover.
Yeah.
I just thought that was a stupid 80s song, you know, like one of those dumb.
It was also a stupid 70s song.
Were you into Cyndi Lauper? Admit it.
Oh,
She was pretty good.
Yeah.
She's still going, too, by the way.
Time after time?
Yeah.
Oh, you play that, I'll get a little weepy.
Yeah. There's karaoke no that.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of old ladies, did you happen to
catch... Hold on.
Oh,
he's got it.
Oh, he's got it. That was quick. Don't miss our opportunity to play this song.
Who is this guy again?
Robert Hazard. I was going to say Robert Danger, but I knew that wasn't it. Robert Hazard.
Doesn't sound like this.
Because you're conditioned to the Cyndi Lauper version.
It's kind of like a...
Time After Time's a cover, too, isn't it?
Yeah. Interesting. That's way different. It's kind of like a punk version of Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just thought that was interesting. And Mike was happy that for one time...
the one time it's been an interesting...
He answered the phone.
...voice on the other end.
Right, Mike? Isn't it great?
Yeah, it's the best.
Our listeners are wonderful, but sometimes it's like, it's weird. Why do they...
Yeah.
Why are you calling me for that? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what you should cook tonight.
Chicken or pork?
Come on, man.
Pork. All right, bye.
No, I did not hear this old lady. Okay.
So this is fantastic. So you are aware that the owner of the Phoenix Suns is a jerk. Robert Sarver threatened the other day to move the Phoenix Suns out of Phoenix if the city wouldn't back the $150 million or $230 million bond to build a new stadium or renovate the current stadium.
So you're saying a rich guy is acting like a rich guy.
Yeah, exactly. Got so first I will read you really quickly the Stan Van Gundy quote. So he said he would move the team to Seattle or Las Vegas. And Stan Van Gundy's quote was awesome. He said, "The question isn't are Seattle and Las Vegas realistic options for the Suns. The question is when is Robert Sarver going to bring an NBA team to Phoenix?"
Oh, burn.
Boom. So Robert Sarver has been the owner since 2004, and they had a city council meeting about this bond to get all of this money for the team, and a woman named Greta, what is Greta's last name? Greta Rogers took the microphone, and here's what it sounded like.
"Mr. Sarver has done nothing to improve this team in the 14 years he's owned it. He's never funded or paid for two or three key players, which make any sports team, professional sports team, successful or on the road to success. He's so tight, he squeaks when he walks. Boom. And you have been negotiating with this kind of person? Shame on each and all of you. And upon you, Ed, I thought your principles were higher and better than this."
Yeah,
"We
too,
are
Ed.
Not in the business of paying taxes to support private enterprise, and especially not an entertainment enterprise. They can support themselves or fail on their own lack of diligence."
Wow.
She's pissed.
Yeah, but she's wrong, though, isn't she? I mean,
when was the last time the Phoenix Suns were good?
Well, it was the D'Antoni. It was 7 seconds or less, and they were damn good, and they were championship level good.
Yes, but what year was that?
I was just thinking about that. It's since he's owned them.
It was, but that's a team that he inherited, and then since then the team has just gone downhill. And right now, we talked about this in the West yesterday.
He brought in Shaq, right?
Yeah, I suppose he did.
He tried
and went to try, but I mean, it's amazing that. The reason I kind of wanted to talk about this, and especially on the heels of the Portland Diamond Project, you look at how important ownership can be, and the idea that everything is coming out of private money in this. The Portland Diamond Project has not gone out and asked for any support for any of this, and here you have the Phoenix Suns, a failing franchise that is unable to put a good product on the floor, goes out and then asks the city to contribute, it kind of says two things, both the Portland Diamond Project and then just how lucky we were to have Paul Allen, who really saved the Blazers by building the Rose Garden and keeping them in Portland too. It's just
totally,
there's just so many different ways to do it. But I know we piss and moan a lot about the Blazers and how they haven't done anything. There's a lot worse NBA franchises that you could have in this city.
Well, yeah. I mean, hell, Paul Allen's like that dude, you owe it all to him. And it will be interesting if we get baseball to see how the, you know, how that goes, you know, mm-hmm. what, I mean, I don't know. To me, the Sun. Okay, so the Suns, you're right. So he bought them in 2004.
Yeah.
That was when they had won 60. They went from 29 to 62 wins.
That's crazy, isn't it?
That was with when D'Antoni took over. That's insane. And then were really good, but they have really sucked rocks since. So, yeah, I mean, ownership matters. But I don't know. He hasn't owned them that long.
14 years.
Maybe they should put Greta in there. Hire her.
Greta's pretty great. So she is an internet sensation, obviously. She gets up there in her little red cardigan.
I love those things, though. Did you see that Marlins one where they were bitching at Derek Jeter? So good. When you get these guys in front of the public who don't give a rip,
yep.
and they get a microphone, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
And they need to do more of that.
Well, I think they do plenty of it. It's just it has to be good to get to us.
Well, but see, I don't think they do. I think teams avoid it. Like a
lot.
Derek
Jeter,
I see
what you're saying. But,
Jeter said, dude, that was a total mistake because he just got buried by them for 3 hours.
But yeah, you could just go and watch City Hall clips for anything. I don't know if you remember seeing the surfer dudes going for the Paul Walker statue.
Yeah.
Those guys were wonderful.
C-SPAN, man. I watch C-SPAN all the time.
That's because you're an old.
It's great.
It's because you're so.
That and Matlock.
So old. All right. Speaking of. C-SPAN and the news. We need to get to In the News.
Oh, yeah.
And that is next. We throw it to Mike for SportsCenter first.
Jack Frost nipping at your nose.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Tap by Coors Light.
On 1080 The Fan.
So Isaac and I were just game planning how to bring you this In the News, and we've discovered that it's going to be an all Santa Claus edition of In the News. So we're going to get right to it for you kids.
Mike's picking good Christmas music.
He's doing very well. But I should announce that I am your Action News reporter with all the news that is news across the nation, Luke Anderson. With me, your noted newsman, Isaac Ropp.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's talk about Bad Santa first.
Okay.
It will be an all Santa Claus version of the news.
The movie Bad Santa or just a Bad Santa?
No, not the movie. Wait, is there a new movie, Bad Santa, that's out?
I think there's a second Bad Santa, but I don't know that that's
new. Yeah, I don't
know
if it's new.
Yeah. There's,
The one with Billy Bob Thornton.
Yeah, I think he did a second one, but I think
he did.
The new one is old.
I tell you what, that's a pretty good movie.
It's okay.
Bad Santa.
Yeah.
Now, this is a real life Bad Santa story.
Okay.
Okay. Now we're going to go primetime UK, St. Ives, UK.
Okay.
An angry mall Santa left children and parents in shock last weekend after launching a foul-mouthed tirade at shoppers while tearing off his costume. Excited children had gathered to meet Santa at a mall in St. Ives, UK on Sunday, but were left distressed by a festive flare-up. According to The Guardian, the entertainer burst out of his grotto during a fire alarm test and began shouting and swearing at shoppers while tearing off his hat and beard.
I think it's fair to note that he would have been doing this in an English accent because it's in the UK. So when you're creating the mental picture, blimey, what's going on here? What do I do with these alarms? And he's got the accent.
The Bad Santa reportedly told those queuing to get the F out after a... After a smoke machine at a family-friendly rave, one floor below set off a fire alarm. Now that
family-friendly rave.
We need to talk about that.
Okay.
You ever heard of that?
No, this is new to me.
Let's go to the kids. Mike, you ever heard about that?
No.
Why do you laugh? It's
all right,
a
everybody.
Rave.
Everybody, walk into the rave. Get your ecstasy. This is family-friendly, so remember, no moshing.
Family-friendly rave. That's where I guess you drop X with your kids or something.
Yeah,
I know.
Exactly.
The rave was being held separately to
they
the Santa.
They look like Flintstones vitamins instead.
Yeah, there you go. They're all,
here, take
they're
one
all
of these.
Fruit flavored.
You little S-head. You ain't seen nothing yet. The rave was being held separately to the Santa event, which was billed as an opportunity to meet Kris Kringle and his chief snowman.
Okay.
Yeah, around 50 children were waiting And the interviews are hilarious of the moms and the kids. They were petrified. Now, how do you think that affects a child queuing, as they say over there?
It depends on the age of the child, but...
don't you think that could permanently damage a few of those children's views of great Santa?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. I think
that jolly old fat Santa.
So it's funny, my brother and his wife have a 9-year-old daughter. In the last few years, they've suspected that she's on to the myth of Santa Claus. And they've got to,
What are you talking about? There's no myth. I have to say that. I'm contractually obligated.
I understand.
The kids love us.
They have gone to extreme lengths to keep the Santa thing real in their household, including writing the letters with their opposite hand. They have special wrapping paper that they hide. They have all of these things that they do to make sure that it goes. And I think my mom may have screwed it up the other day. By not they have the elf on the shelf and did not properly relocate it when my brother and his wife both had to be out of town. So the elf did not get moved, which was part of the instructions. So now there's starting to be cracks in the armor. Of the whole thing. So so if you're in that age range, so I'm going to say 6 to 10, if you still believe and you see that, it shatters the entire illusion.
Do you remember when you first learned that that Santa might not be real?
I don't. I don't remember ever believing in Santa Claus.
I don't either, because I think you just sort of learn over time and then you just go, because you're old enough and you're like, oh.
Well,
duh.
And, I mean, but I had three older brothers, too. So I think a lot of things got, you know, disrupted earlier. Plus, Santa Claus used to always show up to my grandmother's house on Christmas Eve. And he would be clearly one of my drunken uncles. So that kind of dispels it.
I just wonder if, you know, kids, if they're like, are they that dumb? Like, there's all these Santas running around and some of them are screaming F you. And like, they're like, oh, my God, I'm so traumatized because, well, that's Santa. Well, you know what I mean? Like, there's like 8 billion Santa Clauses.
But you
remember, do you think the kids will ever figure it out? Or are they that dumb?
Do you remember in the movie Home Alone when he meets the Santa Claus and it's a guy smoking cigarettes outside of the mall or whatever, but he's chasing him down because he's trying to get his family back. And he runs up and it's, you know, little Kevin McAllister runs up to Santa Claus. And he goes, Santa, Santa, I need your help. And the guy puts the beard back on and he goes, don't worry, I know that you're not the real Santa Claus. And the guy goes, oh, how'd you know? Or whatever, you know. And he goes, I know you work for Santa. I need you to get him a message. I wonder how many kids have that. You know what I mean? Like their parents create a lie going, this isn't the real Santa Claus, but he works for Santa Claus.
Or maybe the kids just know it and they're just playing along our reindeer games. Like you go to your kid and go, hey, we're going to go to the mall and see Santa. And you're like, oh, God. The little kid's like three. Yeah. He's like, oh, God, that dumbass. I know that guy. He works down at the post office.
But you have to remember,
he always
too,
reeks of booze.
Well, yeah, I'm not even joking about the drunken uncle. One year, my uncle came in with a bottle of Jack Daniels, picked up one of my brothers, threw him into the Christmas tree, sat down, handed out presents. But the thing is, your brain is not developed enough at a certain point that you kind of believe whatever your parents tell you.
Do you take your kids to the mall and see Santa?
No.
Throw them up there on that?
No, but we've got a Santa in mind. My wife goes to a chiropractor, and they bring in a very good Santa Claus, or we'll bring him on Monday.
And the kids, they're like, oh, my God, look at that.
No, they're just Santa. Learning to talk.
What's he doing here?
I don't think they kind of, they're really dumb.
How old are your kids?
They're two.
Oh, super dumb.
I mean, so by adult standards, they're super dumb.
Yeah.
What makes
a good Santa?
Real beard, nice costume.
So if you're an old fat guy.
Doesn't tear his costume off swearing through an English mall.
Right.
Yeah.
Although I would have been pissed too. The family-friendly rave. By the way, we're burying the lead. What is a family-friendly rave?
I don't know.
Somebody's got to text in about that. I've never heard of that.
To a family-friendly rave, let us know how that went.
I mean, if we're going to actually try to answer the question seriously, it's probably just rave music.
And like a bubble machine.
And like nothing else. There's no...
Right.
No frills. It's just, hey, you can all come in. There's definitely no drugs.
By frills, you mean no drugs.
It's parents that want to accompany their kid. Like, they don't trust the whole rave scene, and they're like, oh, well, we'll go with you.
Yeah.
And the kids are like, oh, my God.
And the parents get, like, glow stick necklaces, and they're like, woo!
Well, I think what it is the rave...
Play Cyndi Lauper!
The rave culture has aged themselves into
parenthood.
But they've all aged themselves into parenthood, and now they want to go back and do it. So what it means is raves are no longer cool.
But I think they are. You know, every time I'm in Vegas, and I don't know if this is a rave, but... the Electronic Daisy Festival. You guys ever heard of that? No, I'm an old talking about some kid thing. but it's a big giant rave. People come from all over the world for that thing, and it is something else. It's a huge deal. Hundreds of thousands of kids with glow sticks.
Yeah. And when you say waste. Kids, what, 20 to 20s?
Teens,
yeah.
Okay. The teens to the 20s.
Yeah, I got
they're
you.
All out there dropping acid.
Yep.
Getting in my way.
I don't know. We've got two more Santa Claus stories, and we'll get you those when In the News continues.
Yes.
That is next on Primetime. This is 1080 The Fan. Oh.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Tap by Coors Light.
On 1080 The Fan.
You can tell that Isaac loves Bryan Adams.
Big fan. I'm not afraid to admit it either, dude.
Your head
great.
Starts bobbing and going back and forth. Summer of 69, that'll get you up and dancing.
Bryan Adams is greatness.
And he's Canadian.
And I will hear nothing of the sort otherwise. He is in the same category with Christopher Cross for me. Thank you.
Okay.
That's a hot take. Now, I'm leaving.
On that note, we get back to In the News. special...
Whoa, show's over.
Yeah.
You said you were leaving.
Well, that's as hot as I got today, so...
Yeah. Well, this is a very special all Santa Claus edition of In the News.
I want to hear a Christopher Cross, Bryan Adams...
Oh, mashup?
No, a duet, man. Yeah. While they're still alive, let's get this done. Why has this not happened? Mike always needles me. He goes, okay, I played this for you, this Bryan Adams song, because I really do like Bryan Adams. And he was like, I played this for you. I said, oh, thanks, Mike. He goes, and he's always got to take a shot. Like, he just can't, like, you're welcome.
Yeah.
No. He goes, yeah, I don't know anybody else who likes Bryan Adams but you, so I played for you.
There you go.
He could have left that out.
Yeah, didn't need to do that. All right, for this next Santa Claus story, we go out to unincorporated Washington County.
Ooh.
In the Bethany neighborhood. Do you know the Bethany neighborhood?
Yeah.
So Fritz and Belinda Richard have lived in the same house in the same neighborhood for 21 years.
Fritz.
That's a fantastic name.
That is a fantastic name.
Fritz Richard. Yeah, not Richard Fritz. Fritz Richard. They are an African-American family, and they have always put up Christmas decorations, but this year they decided to put up an 8-foot-tall inflatable black Santa Claus.
Good for them.
Yeah, it was good for them until a vandal came and slashed the side of
serious?
The Santa Claus. No, I'm not. I'm telling you the truth.
You're not serious?
I'm very serious. But
that's brutal.
It is
What's
brutal.
The matter with people?
They're
it's
racist.
The holidays, damn
they're
it.
They're racist, and they're terrible. But there is a silver lining to this story.
Racism has stretched to Bethany.
Yeah. Well, I think it may have always been there hiding in the shadows. I don't know that stretched out. The racism is old, and we're trying to eradicate it. So
there
if anything,
are no racists in Bethany.
If anything, what is stretching out is tolerance. I don't know if you know the history of this country, but at one time, very racist. And now, less racist.
Hey, right. You know what? We should get those people their Santa back.
Well, so they've already ordered another black Santa,
good.
As have three of their neighbors. And what we should do is get a call for everybody to get a black Santa.
Yeah, dude, that'd be great.
So in solidarity, you and your wife get your own black Santa. My wife and I will get our own black Santa. You can get a black rabbi.
Sure. Okay. Black Moses.
Yeah, black Moses. There you go. For outside of your house when you're celebrating your
that'd
Hanukkah festivities.
That'd be great if that whole neighborhood in Bethany is now just black Santa.
So right now there's at least four black Santas that will be up in that neighborhood.
Are they all 8 feet tall?
I think they're getting the same inflatable black
That's
Santa.
That's fantastic.
So he's taking over the neighborhood.
Is the one guy on the block who doesn't get the black Santa? I mean, is that
That's
the guy that slashed
obvious.
The...
Yeah. I think it's pretty obvious. The sheriff's department out there has not had any luck. So if you know anything about this vandalism, there's a non-emergency number. I'm going to give it to you twice here. 503-629-0111. 503-629-0111. This is an Oregonian story, so you can go on Oregon Live and check it out. But if you know anything about it, it is terrible. That's a terrible story.
Brutal.
But I love the way the neighborhood is rallying around.
Yeah, good for them.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, your final Santa Claus story, and this comes to us from...
I love hot Santa talk.
I'm here for you. So this comes from KGW, and I believe it's
They're
their
very good over there.
Their sister station in Pittsburgh put out a survey, and they asked people to vote for suggestions to update Santa Claus, and I want to just give you some numbers.
Update, what do you mean?
Well, they asked how they can improve the image of Santa Claus.
He doesn't have a bad image. Everybody loves Santa Claus.
Well, listen.
He's a real person. How can you update his image?
Right. What they're trying to do is throw suggestions to the real person that is Santa Claus that delivers all the toys, how he can get updated for the...
He needs to go on the keto diet.
21st century. So 27% of people said that they believe Santa should be a woman or gender neutral.
Gender neutral Santa. That's what we're doing now?
Woman or gender neutral. 27% of the people in this study.
Really?
Yeah.
Where was this study?
So I believe...
Does
so,
everything have to be... Why do we have to have gender neutral everything? I don't understand that. Somebody's going to have to explain that to me at the risk of being insensitive.
Yeah.
I really don't get that.
They surveyed 400 people in the U.S. and 4,000 people in the U.K. Okay. And this is Graphic Springs is who did the survey.
I mean, why are you... First of all, that survey's stupid.
Well, 72% said, oh, he should probably stay male.
Yeah, but that 27%, that's high. That quite surprises high. Me. Like, yeah. I thought most people would just... Although, I don't know, how many people hung up the phone?
Well...
Because that's what I would have done.
Yeah, well, sure.
They're ruining everything.
Do you question all surveys just based on why would you take time to fill out a survey?
Sort of.
Yeah,
I never take those.
Yeah, do you know anybody that does? Like, have you ever been with somebody when it's like somebody's on the street corner going, hey, I'd love to ask you a couple questions. And you're with a buddy and goes, oh, yeah, absolutely. I'd love to give you my opinion. I think that it's important that people know what I and people like me think about Santa Claus.
Well, people don't advertise it, but no, I don't know. Yeah. I don't think a lot of people that I know do that.
Better You Today text line is 55305. Do you participate in surveys of any kind?
Well,
telephone,
listen,
in person.
If they want gender neutral Santa, which, by the way, what about Mrs. Claus?
Thank you. Just have her play a larger role.
I demand.
Well, but then you know you're supporting traditional marriage if you go with Mrs. Claus, and you're
yeah we can't
know,
have that
yeah. So
I propose in exchange if they want gender neutral Santa, which I find ridiculous, then the Tooth Fairy needs to be a king.
Oh, okay.
Now what?
Say something to that. It's not my survey, by the way. Okay. Couple other...
What?
The Tooth That's King.
That's right. The damn Tooth King. What do you think about that?
Brilliant, I guess. I don't know.
I'm going to start swapping these people.
Yeah.
Well, and the Easter Bunny should be an elephant.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, too. I love
gender
elephants.
Gender neutral bunny.
Here's some other suggestions. 22% of people said that Santa should trade in his sleigh and reindeer for a flying car. 25 people suggested that
Electric car.
An electric flying car, sure. 25% said he should turn in his boots and wear trainers or tennis shoes. 21% that said he should go on a diet. 23% said he should use Amazon Prime. 20% said that a tattooed Santa would be cool.
Ooh, tatted up Santa. I like that.
Here's the thing. He may have tats now. Yeah. Is he going to get a face tattoo? The Mike Tyson face tattoo?
That'd be badass.
What? That's the only skin exposed on the whole fat dude.
Yeah.
And then 18% said that he should get a new hairstyle and wear skinny jeans.
All right. People are stupid, and I hate them. So that's my final thought on that. What a dumb survey.
And that's your in the news.
What do you think about that, Mike? What do you think about that survey?
It's ridiculous. I agree with you.
Well, but again, what they did was they took the smaller percentages of everything. 80% were like, this is stupid on every question. That's why the numbers are all in the 20%. That is your in the news for December 12th.
What about Jesus? Are we
December 14th.
We're going to go gender neutral on Jesus now?
I think we have to.
I mean, is that next? I mean, you're attacking Santa. What's next?
Let's do it. Hot 5 of 5 is next. Primetime on 1080 The Fan.